This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. Coming up on Sunday, March 12th, is the 7th ever in-person Cabin Fever Reliever Show. We're stumbling as to whether to call it the 7th annual because we had 2 years where we didn't have a Cabin Fever in its normal guise. Last year, we had a virtual Cabin Fever, and we are back in person at the Two Harbors High School this Sunday, March 12th. The doors open at 3, and the performance proper gets underway at 4 p.m. We hope you'll be there. And we've had the opportunity today to visit with John Agaki, who is coming to us. And John, you'll have to tell me exactly where, because I've been told you're in Ashland. I don't know if you're in Ashland proper or in the greater Ashland metropolitan area, in Wisconsin, of course, in the South Shore. But welcome to the show today, John. Are you in an undisclosed location in the city of Ashland or in the rural setting?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I'm at the old farm where I grew up. I came out here to do some shoveling.
Okay. But when you are a resident of somewhere.
That's my main, it's right in Ashland proper, yeah.
In the town of Ashland, great. A lot of us enjoy that town, don't get over there nearly as much as we'd like to. And our radio waves may someday be reaching Ashland. I don't think they quite do yet, right, John? They reach other points in the South Shore?
Yeah, the reception honestly is better here. Yeah, it's not the greatest. So I'm looking forward to 2 years from now when it increases.
And that is going to be a grand campaign on our part because it's going to require us to encourage people to support. This is kind of going to be a big investment in equipment, and we think it'll be worth it with an intention of getting well up the North Shore and going over to the South Shore and getting more people involved. Community radio is part of what the Cabin Fever is about. It's about celebrating our time together in the airwaves and celebrating especially the local talent that comes from diverse musical traditions. And John, I know that you are, how would you be self-described if I ask you, so John, what are you as a musician? What is your thing?
Oh my, I mean...
That's not fair to do, is it? Otherwise, I would just say you may be a folk singer. I know you may have sang songs in a country tradition at one point. I know you also have an Irish music album out. And then is the door open to many other descriptions?
Oh, yeah. Those cover some of them. And then I also do semi-classical thing, solo guitar pieces. And I thought about putting out a CD of some of my piano pieces too, and so people seem to enjoy them. So I don't know, music in just almost any genre, I'm pretty much open to things. I've been enjoying the PBS special on hip-hop and the history of hip-hop, you know, and that's not normally something I listen to, but you know, I listen to it because it's, you know, I like to be open to things.
I think a lot of KTWH listeners wind up, even if they don't come into it thinking they're going to be open-minded, you sprinkle in things and give some people some context, they'll listen to a wider range than they might at one of the more standard radio outlets that kind of tells you, you know, you're going to listen to a very narrow range of the musical spectrum. And that's what we're selling to our advertisers, is that you like a narrow window of music. And, you know, we don't have to appeal to advertisers here on nonprofit community radio, John. So we can have you on in one set, and then the next set could be a jazz saxophonist, and following that we might have a bluegrass quintet. So that's the way we roll here. So we're very interested in artists like you that practice in many different traditions.
And that's a wonderful thing about your radio station, is that it does just that. It's just fascinating. You never know what you're going to hear in any given hour, unless it's clearly defined like the classical hour.
Yeah, we do have what we'd call some block programs where a person says, I'm going to play music from this tradition. The blues is an example of where we have some block programs, and we have our people who are addicts for those shows, and they want us to have more and more and more. And it's like, no, we have to have variety as the spice of life, guys.
Well, and it's funny you should mention the blues part, because I've written in that genre too, although that's not normally the direction I go, but I had just, yeah, I wanted to experiment in that. And so, yeah, I'm glad you do all those things, because it's get exposed to things and you don't know where it's going to go with you as an artist. So, and or for the listener.
And John, we were talking before I pressed record here for our visit today, and we talked about how you got your start in music, a reluctant clarinet player who moved over into stringed instruments and self-taught on guitar. And then you were also given lessons on piano. And can you describe what you play on your recordings, primarily all guitar? Are there ever any adventures in composing and playing the piano on your recordings?
Not on any of the release stuff that I have. There's some things that I, on the Country Western CD that I am working on, I play piano on that.
Okay.
And so there's a little sprinkling of that. But then I've also gotten into the era of writing for TV and film. And so in those unreleased recordings, I have a variety of things from guitar and vocals, to guitar, vocals, and drums, to piano and orchestration. So there's a mix there.
This including all yourself on all of the instruments?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, not
in a studio?
Yeah, the drums, sometimes I have a live drummer.
And okay.
On my CD, on A Little Music on the Rocks, Joe Linzius is just, oh man, he's a great musician. And he's known as Superior. Well, he should be anyway, but he's
well,
a regular.
I do recognize anyway, the name, John, so I appreciate that. I do recognize Joe's name.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
So you grew up in a very rural part of, it was Douglas County, the village of Wentworth?
Yes, and to a degree, well, I had mentioned that my dad was in the Air Force for, man, I mean, 20 years there, but he had been in other branches of the military, just like military life. And so every 2 years, we'd be bouncing around somewhere. And so I'd be shifting around from place to place. And the closest he was to the Twin Ports was at the Duluth Air Base, but he had been at other bases, Grand Forks and out east. And but so anyway, I'd bounced around as a kid, but the home base basically was here.
Okay. So. And did you strike out to see the wide world and practice, try to make a living as a musician at an early age? Or is this something that's evolved? Have you had another profession alongside your music career?
Oh, I've had many.
Is that an adventurous answer that's needed? Okay.
Well, no, I've done many, many professions. And it wasn't until I actually, well, I started doing more music, I think, while I was still working. But once I retired, that gave me the freedom to really do music without feeling guilty because I should be doing something related to work.
Right.
And so once I retired, then I could really focus on music. And so that's how that it really went into overdrive then.
When you were in your other careers, would you say that music was kind of like at the hobby level, even no matter how skillful you might have been, that you weren't a gigging musician at the same time you had a day job necessarily?
Well, I would gig while I was working too, but
okay.
Yeah, but not as often as now, for sure.
And did I read correctly, and you just alluded to it, I think, that you're working on more than one, I don't know what you call a recording these days. I just say album for a shorthand. You're working on like three albums that are in progress?
Yeah, I am. Yes. And, let's see. One is on sea shanties and songs of the lake, and another one is a country western CD. And then one album is just on guitar instrumentals. Those are going to be a little bit difficult to continue because the studio where I recorded them at, the owner passed away just recently. So they're stuck in the studio right now.
Oh, my.
Unfortunately. But, yeah, he was really a great producer and engineer. I was really lucky to work with him. But
I'm wondering, so, is this in Superior that you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, my. Is that Mr. Hill?
Yeah, Dave Hill. Yeah.
Oh, my. I did not know he had passed. Okay.
Yeah, just at the end of February. I think it was the 22nd of February.
Oh, yeah. His work is well-known in these parts.
Oh, my. And the stuff that he has manufactured is used around the world. I mean, he's just a genius of sound.
Wow.
He really was.
Yeah, there's no replacing
that.
Yeah,
that's very sad for me. So I was very, very upset for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Not just because he's tied with art, which was another dimension. Because he was tied with part of the artistic creative part. And so in a way, he was kind of tied up with my musical soul, which is a different type of passing, you know? So
yeah.
He won't be part of the creative process. So
yeah.
That was a different sort of death for me.
this is news to me, sad news. And yeah, I respect your loss and hope that you can take time and get moving ahead on the projects in whatever way you can going forward, John. We have John Agaki with us today, who will be performing at our Cabin Fever Reliever Show on March 12th, a benefit for KTWH at the Two Harbors High School. And John, you were mentioning of the differences between these three recordings, sea shanties, country and western, and guitar instrumentals. And I know that you're whimsical enough to sometimes refer to your Celtic expression under the name John Agaki. And I'm wondering for sea shanties, if you might be willing to use the moniker John Agaki with a pirate, a pirate bent.
Yeah, I might do that. That's a great idea. Oh my word!
I'm sorry. I get a commission on puns, John. So,
well, at least a free CD. If I do that.
I would love that, honestly. But yes, yeah, so I did want people to know that you've got quite a repertoire that you could draw from, and we're asking you to do a couple of three tunes. And I don't know if you want to give away what angle you're going to take to performance on Sunday, but can you tell me about how your musical interest has expanded? Because, for instance, not necessarily expected that growing up and learning guitar as a young man that you'd be drawn to Irish music. How did that come about? Did you get an exposure through a particular musician?
Well, what happened, I believe, was my mother had bought a 20-album set of the Golden Treasury of Music. And on one of those albums was folk music. And that's where I was exposed to Irish jigs for the first time. And that just appealed to me immediately. And so really, I wanted to learn how to play the violin. And where the clarinet came in, you know, at the grade school that I was at in East Grand Forks, Minnesota, the only instrument they could offer me was clarinet. And so that's the instrument they needed. And that isn't what I wanted to play. I really wanted to play violin. And that was included on the film strip they showed us. And you could
right.
Play the instrument
so you wanted to get a fiddle in your hand and start doing some reels and jigs and no
right.
dice.
And then later, I did actually study violin and I did take lessons.
Oh.
And you know, with Steve Hyland from the Duluth Symphony. And so I did fulfill that dream, and I did learn how to play jigs on the violin. So it all kind of came together. And then later on, I just was attracted to Irish music anyway, just because it's melodic and it tells a story. And so I continued the repertoire of that. And ultimately, I studied with John Doyle, the great Irish guitarist and songwriter, and studied with him in a seminar in Texas.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's interesting how these threads connect together. You don't know, you know, how things will connect in life. In fact, I just wrote a song about that I performed at the Dylan Fest last May called The River of Time. And It talks about the many roads we go down in life, and they connect somehow. But, you know, how is that and why is that? You know, it's a great mystery. So, that's how the Irish thread kind of continued through.
I'm also intrigued by, I haven't had a chance to dig into your album, A Little Shamrock Music. Are you doing all traditionals, or would you be able, willing, and is it appropriate for you to be like composing new Irish melodies
songs?
No,
in fact, there's one instrumental on there called Brad Doyle Jig. And it's called that because two of my main influences, Paul Brady, a great Irish songwriter, and then John Doyle, whom I mentioned earlier. And so they use alternative tunings, and without knowledge of those tunings, you know, I wouldn't have been able to write that jig. And so that was a homage to both of them, actually. And so, yeah, and I've met both of them, actually. That's the great thing about life. I met Paul Brady after a concert, and we tipped a couple pints together. And
oh, that's pretty sweet. He's a legend. Wow.
Yeah. He has a copy of my CD. I was just delighted to. I told him one of the songs in there I wrote when my mother was in hospice, I wrote it for her, and it was a tuning that Paul Brady uses. It's called Mother's Last Waltz. And he was really touched by that story, the connection of his tuning and how it was something that led to a composition, you know, that I played for my mother.
Yes, and I had no idea of that connection. I have queued up here, actually. I could play it following our conversation, a tune from A Little Music on the Rocks, where you have your epilogue, Mother's Last Waltz, and you also have a memorial waltz for your dad.
Yeah, they were both great dancers, so that's why there's the waltz business there. And in fact, my dad had dated Ginger Rogers at one time. And so,
I wouldn't be talking to you if they had pursued that relationship. So
yeah, that's right. He was already committed to my mother, but he kept her company when she was entertaining.
Okay. You know, so. That probably was good for morale all around. And it, fascinating story. I know they always say that Ginger Rogers had it much tougher because she had to do everything Fred Astaire did backwards and in high heels.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So, John, you don't have to tell us what you might dip into your repertoire bag and pull out on Sunday, but people can expect that you'll be on guitar and you're going to be singing, and it is getting close to St. Patrick's Day. Maybe we could call out a request or plead with you to do a Celtic number.
Well, I think I might just do that. I'll be playing before the show actually starts, so I just think it's appropriate to do an Irish tune, and I have one in mind. It's perfect for that sort of event.
Wonderful.
And then, speaking of sea shanties and songs of the lake, I have a little song related to a famous boat in two harbors that I'm planning on doing.
So. We could all speculate what that might be like. I'm looking forward to that.
So those two things for sure.
Excellent.
And then I did win a talent contest with Garrison Keillor on an original song that I had written. And, you know, I may do that. We're only allotted so much time, so I have to
I know, because, John, we've overstuffed this lovely variety pack of performers, and frankly, we feel a little guilty about asking all of them if they can keep it to 8-10 minutes so that we can get through a lot of set changes.
I
apologize to everyone that what we have is a bounty of riches, but it does, hopefully it's whetting everybody's appetite to get to know you more. And whenever they see your name, you know, mentioned on this side of the lake, to come out and see you in person live, because I'm sure that's inspiring to know that you might have a home across the lake where people will show up if you come and gig, because, you know, we have some venues where we would like to have people playing from across the region rather than, you know, just down the street. It's really fun to welcome in visiting musicians.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that show really is reflective of your radio station. There's just something for everybody on that show. And just the variety. It's almost like, not like vaudeville, because vaudeville would have a variety, but it's along that same vein, you know, or like the old Ed Sullivan shows, you know, where you just had variety. And I think that's wonderful.
Yes, know? And I won't give too much away, but we do have practitioners of classical music, violin music, who also get out and play with a funk band, and that very thing might happen on our stage during the course of the Cabin Fever. So I'm just gonna put that teaser out there to folks that it could be a surprising mix might happen on Sunday. John, I have to let you go.
Great, this has been wonderful.
Keep
up the good work at KTWH. It's a great station, and I support it too. So
thank you, John. That's a genuine investment, because you're not actually able to hear our FM signal. You must be picking us up off the interwebs.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Thank you so much for putting out the good word for us, and we will look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it, too.
All right. Oh, if you would, is there a piece from A Little Music on the Rocks that you would request for me to segue into for our listeners?
Oh, my. Outside of Mother's Last Waltz.
I would love to play that, if that's okay with you.
That's fine. That's the connection with Paul Brady, the Irish guitarist.
Fantastic.
And, yeah.
Well, we'll see you on the radio, and we'll see you at the Two Harbors High School this weekend, John. So see you then.
Sounds great.
Bye now.
Okay. Yep, thank you. Yep, bye.
Bye. John Agaki, musician who does a lot of things, and he'll be doing some of those things with us at the Two Harbors High School at the Cabin Fever Reliever this Sunday, March 12th. This is Leo for KTWH.